Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Cauveri Seed Company's Q2 and H1 FY 2023 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Joining us today on this call, we have Mr. Mithun Chand, Executive Director. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. For a list of such considerations, please refer to the earnings presentation. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mithun Chand. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome everyone for our quarter two H1 financial year 2023 earnings conference call. We hope you had a chance to review the presentation of our results, which is also available on our website. I will touch upon the operational financial performance of the company and then open the floor for the question and answer session. Non-cotton segment had grown by 12.36% during the first half of the year due to higher revenue growth from rice, maize, and vegetables. EBITDA and PAT margins during the half year grew by 159 and 174 basis points. Growth in non-cotton segments were achieved in spite of more than 20 lakh hectares less rice acreage. Bajra and maize sowing has picked up by registering growth of 10.4% and 2.5% respectively. In this quarter, we have announced a buyback of up to 125.6 crores at a maximum purchase price of rupees 700 per share. This is the fifth consecutive buyback by the company in the last 5 years. Some developments from the industry aspects. The government panel has approved an application seeking environmental clearance of indigenously developed GM mustard seeds. Experts are paving the way for commercial use of the country's first GM food crop. This is the first GM crop to get an approval in the last 2 decades. This is a very positive move by the government of India. Coming back to the financial highlights of the first half financial year 2023, revenue from operations was at 816.44 crores as compared to 758.36 crores in first half financial year 2022, registered a growth of 7.66%. EBITDA was at 259.2 crore as compared to 229.19 crore in first half 22, increased by 13.3%. Net profit was at 243.39 crore as compared to 212 crore in first half, registered a growth of 14.32%. Our cash on book stands at 497 crore. Segment-wise highlights, cotton volumes increased by 6.1% and revenue by 1.5%. Hybrid rice volume grew by 5.25%. Hybrid rice industry is growing at close to 3 to 4% in the last few years. We are the second largest player in the rice market. The company had a market share of more than 12.5% as of now. Selection rice volume grew by 17% and revenue by 6.85%, close to 7%. The contribution of new products was up from 19.75% to 25.16% of volumes. Maize volumes increased by 8.68% and revenue by 12.46%. Contribution of new products was up from 23.65% to 35.5% of volumes. Vegetable sales volumes increased by 20.54% while revenue increased by 18.7%. Major segments are hot pepper, tomato, goats and okra. Had good growth in OPs like coriander and coffee. We as a company have been heavily investing in R&D and have been agile in bringing multiple new variants across the seed segments and going to be the biggest beneficiaries. I would now open the floor for question and answer session.
Thank you, sir. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Participants present on the audio bridge who wish to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Gunit Singh from CCIPL. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for giving me this opportunity. My question is regarding the tax that has been imposed on our company. I am of the understanding that if the company owns land or if it is leased out by the company and all agricultural activities are performed by the company, then no tax is levied. But government has imposed a tax on us. How are we proceeding with that? Are we contesting that? And do we have any update from the field?
Yeah, as we have mentioned to the exchanges earlier, for the financial year 19-20, we were claiming an agricultural income that was denied by the tax authority. We have gone for the appeal and filed an appeal against that.
So that is just for the financial year 19-20 or?
For the what the demand what we got is for 19-20 financial year. That's the only demand what we got, and that's what we went for the appeal.
So going forward, do we have any clarity on whether this tax will be levied on us or?
Not really. That's again subject to the interpretation of the authorities. As of now, we are claiming the same benefit. If anything is there, we'll definitely inform.
All right. But I believe that, can you just elaborate, like, why the reason why government would have imposed this tax on us? Like, do we not own the land or?
No, I may not go back to the government side, but our side, what we feel is an agriculture activity, and we are claiming this income for last many years, and it was allowed. And this is the only financial year where we were not allowed by that. For that, we have went for the appeal. Once we get the decision, we'll update it.
All right. And any potential reason we think why just for that financial year it was levied and not for any other?
No, we don't have much of idea. It's a routine process what they say, and we'll update, as I said earlier. Any news on this, we'll update.
All right. My last question regarding the same, is that the only financial year when it was levied, or previously have we had any other occurrence as well of?
We had only one demand for the financial year 19-20. When we got the order, that was clearly mentioned to the exchanges, and it was there in the website. And for that year, financial year, we have appealed for the files. We have gone for the appeal.
All right. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Anurag Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Sir, my first question is, the performance has been good in a seasonally weak quarter. However, the overall performance is clouded by a 50% decline in other income. Other income has dropped from 15 crores to 7.5 crores. So what is the reason for this drop in other income?
Basically, for us, other income is income generated by investing activities, basically in financial instruments, which are mentioned in the annual report. Basically, SEBI registered funds, long-term, short-term, based on the maturity of the fund, whenever we get income, we book in it.
Thank you. And I have two more questions related to the balance sheet. The trade payables other than MSE have declined from 372 crores. 372 crores was the number in September 2020. Then it came from September 2020. I'm comparing September balance sheet only. So September 2 years ago, September 2020, the trade payables were 372 crores. They came down to 245 crores in September 21. And now currently they are at 180 crores in September 22. So there appears to be a secular decline in trade payables. So my question was, is there a change in policy or terms with the producer farmers that because of which the trade payables are declining?
That all depends on the what sort of production we are doing, which crop we are doing. In the previous years, we were producing a lot of cotton and we were having a lot of inventory of cotton. The area got declined in cotton. The other thing is that, as rightly said, even now we are paying advances, as a lease agreement and everything, we are paying advance and the production cost is incurred much earlier now.
Okay. So that is why the payables are decreasing because the farmer is kind of paid.
But that all depends on the dynamics of the crop and which crop and where we are operating in that.
Okay. Okay.
End of the day, the costs matter.
Okay. Okay. And another question on the balance sheet was that from last year, September 21, the receivables were 281 crores. They have increased currently to 366 crores. So, you know, my question was that overall, how are the industry conditions on recoverability of receivables from the trade, and how comfortable is Kaveri on recovering these receivables, because these have increased significantly in last 1 or 2 years, and any update on the outstanding receivables from state government, which were earlier provisioned for and we were expecting recovery.
If you see the receivables and if you see the bad debt percentage of the company, which we disclose every time, is less than 0.5%. And till date, we had only 40-odd crores of bad debt for the last 8-10 years, including the government bodies. And majority of the bad debts are from the government bodies. Otherwise, the trade receivables, we are not much worried about it. But this time, some areas, the season got delayed. The receivables took some time, but we are not bothered about the receivables. Most of the receivables will be closed before the year end. Once you see the balance sheet of the year, most of that will be received. And regarding the government bodies, some we have received, some majority is pending, but it's slowly started now.
Thank you, sir. This is all from my side.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Agam Shah from RSP and Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi, congratulations for a good set of numbers. I just have two questions on buyback front. Do we have any sense about promoters' participation in the buyback? Do we have any idea?
We are clearly mentioned in the scheme itself when we came to public, when we had a meeting. We are clearly indicated to the investors and to the exchange. It's a pure market mechanism buyback where promoters are not eligible to participate in it. We are not participating in it.
Okay, okay. That's it. And in terms of timeline, when should this bring
up? So basically, it's all very much prescribed in the Act itself. We need to go as per the Act. But for your information, we have already started buying and we are intimating it to the exchanges every day. I don't know the present status, but they're all there in the website and the exchanges. So what is the quantity we bought? And we, as a mandate, as a statutory thing, we need to disclose it every day and that we are doing it.
Okay, okay. All right. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you.
We have the next question from Andrew Sanjeev Zarbade from Dream Ladder Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Couple of questions from my side. Wanted to understand, when will the volume growth start contributing towards the revenue growth? If you could give some idea on that.
If you see, if you say compare this year to the previous year, there was a much of a volume growth higher than the revenue growth in most of the crops. That clearly indicates that we have a much higher volume growth than the revenue growth. The reason for that this time is that we have given, because of the competition in cotton and other crops, we have realized less. That's one of the reason the revenues are lower. Otherwise, if you see, the volumes have grown more than 12 to 15% most of the growth.
And second question is on: are you looking for any acquisitions in seed and other related activities?
As of now, no. We were looking for a vegetable company, but right now we have a good R&D, and I don't think we are looking for any vegetable company. At the same time, we are not saying that we are not inclined to that. If you see any right opportunity, we might go for it. Proactively, we are not working for it. If we get any opportunity, we will not leave it.
And sir, last question from my side. When will we see again good numbers like the BT cotton times in cotton crop? Are you expecting any similar disruptive technology entering the country, both in cotton and non-cotton business?
See, when you talk about the revenues, we are going on year basis. And if you see the composition right now, when earlier it was like 75 to 80% was contributed by cotton. Right now it came down to close to 35-37%, which we were saying for the last 3 years that the contribution of cotton will come down by less than 40%. That is already happening. In all other segments, we are growing. But if you see the recent developments, what we had, government allowing GM mustard trials for the indigenous parents, and then there's another meeting which is coming up for the BG to RRF for the new technology, which is moving after roughly near to close to 2 decades. So that's a very positive trend, positive thing. If the new technologies come in, definitely we may see good volumes come picking up in cotton as well.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Tiwari from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. And thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, how is the competition from illegal BT cotton in the current quarter compared to previous other quarters?
See, when your quarter comes in the first quarter, we don't see any such sale in the second quarter. It's only the left out sale what we get in the second quarter. Apart from states like Tamil Nadu, which is a very small state. But if you see, illegal cotton has playing a big role as of now, but most of the governments are against for the illegal cotton. So it has remained stagnant or slightly lower than the other percentage compared to the previous year. But in the second quarter, we don't see any change in that. As I said, it's a very lean quarter. Going forward, now the government is approving for the new technology, so the illegal cotton should come down as a percentage. Going forward, if the government approves new technology.
So we can expect in the coming quarters, the market share which we were losing or the organized sector was losing, that will not happen basically.
So the coming quarters are like 3 and 4 quarters, we don't do any sale in cotton as such. But in the coming year, definitely, the organized sector will have a larger percentage in the market, and we are one of the biggest player in cotton, and definitely we think that we can go back to our market share once the technology comes back.
Sure, sir. And on this GM mustard, if you can quantify what would be like the industry size and what would be the revenue potential or the industry potential for this GM mustard?
As of now, we don't have any GM mustard, but mustard is grown close to 7 million hectares across India. And now it's slowly moving on to hybridization in mustards. It's very marginal right now, but it's moving in that direction. And even the government, as we are importing oil, even government is pushing for the mustard seeds. Going forward, we see a very good scope for the mustard seeds. The other point, what we need to see here is that, like, mustard is a crop, no doubt it's an important crop, but it's the first food crop which got the GM license, I mean to say GM trialing. Going forward, it's like all food crops will come into it, that will open up a new market, and new variants and new crops will definitely add to it. And that is a huge potential for the seed companies like us, which have a good market share in most of the crops where we operate, and we are continuously venturing into other crops which will further help us to gain market shares in most of the crops.
Thank you, sir. And last one question. So if I look across all the crops like cotton, hybrid, rice, maize, vegetable, our volume has increased more than the revenue. So is there any pricing pressure or because of competition or something like that?
Just now I explained that the volumes are up this year when compared to previous year, but this time because of competition and because of some other issues, we were not able to realize more. For example, cotton, the realization was much lower than the last year. So that's had impacted to some extent.
Okay. And sir, what would be the composition of
and that is a very temporary process. We don't see that will continue for long. This is one of the year where there are some cases where we need to reduce the realization based on the competition.
Sure, sir. And sir, what portion of your product portfolio would be contributed attributed to Rabi crops?
Usually it's like Rabi is like we take third and fourth, we call it as Rabi. Like that should be around 20-25% of the sale.
20-25%. And how has the season started like?
It's too early, but we see a very good Rabi coming up because we see a good prices for the maize, and we are pretty active. We are confident that we can do good sale in maize and even in sunflower for the second half compared to the previous year. Anyway, even though it's a very lean quarter, but compared to the quarter-on-quarter basis, I think that we'll be doing well in the crops where we operate. And if you see, in this year was a very tough year in terms of the overall cropping conditions. Most of the crops were down. The other crops came up. Even in that tough condition, we were able to increase our sales and our market shares as well. If you see, we have gone to 12.5% market share in rice, which itself shows the strength of our hybrids. And even in maize, we have grown by more than 18% in terms of the volumes, whereas industry is like less than 5%. Even in sunflower, remains same. We have grown by double or more than 200% in sunflower. And even in bajra, we grew. So if you see on crop by crop basis, in most of the crops, we have gained market share. And that will that itself shows the strength of our products in the tough condition. And going forward, it will really help us to gain further market shares and realize more value for it.
Yeah, but overall, you are seeing a strong for the industry. Q3 has been good, as you told that maize prices has increased, and so these factors it has supported industry in Q3, right?
Q3 is only 1 month now. We are into Q3 only 1 month now. The season is, as of now, it looks good. The sowing is just, the products are just moving in, moving out. When the portfolio, what we have compared to our portfolio to the previous year, we see a good Rabi coming up. The Rabi is basically the maize for us and some rice. We see both crops doing well, and sunflower is also there. So these three crops we are doing well. The other interesting thing is even vegetables, we have seen a good year this year. I mean, it's a good crop in the third and fourth crop. Chili is also moving now. So even that, it will contribute. So all contribution, as a contribution of all crops, we see growth for our company in the quarter three and the initial goal.
Sure. Thank you, sir. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Gagan Thareja from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Mr. Gagan, I have requested to kindly come on the handset because the audio is pretty low, however.
Yeah, I am on the handset.
Yeah, this is much more clear now.
Okay. Yeah, so the first question is on the impending GAC approval of HTBT cotton. If this goes through, which is very likely to happen, will the price be controlled price that we already see in BG1, or this will not figure under price control? And secondly, there will be a royalty payment involved for this one to Mike, Monsanto, or Bayer, right? Which is Bayer now. Any thoughts on this? And third.
What we see when coming to the GM seeds, the technology is provided by the now by Bayer. So definitely there will be a royalty on that. As an industry, with the government, as an association, with the technology provider, we are working out a structure where all the parties should be benefited. In terms of the price control, it's too early to say whether it will be controlled or not, but we are in discussion with the all the parties involved, and we'll have an amicable solution for it where it will not hurt any interest and it will help the Indian farmer. So the direction will be a win-win situation for all the players.
Right. So, the acreage under cotton may or may not increase, but there will be a shift away from one BG1 to BG2, which might give some scope for market share gains.
If you see, sorry to interrupt your question, but It's not only about the acreage shift. If you see, traditionally, Indian acreages were in and around the 12 million hectares, plus or minus 2, for the last 20 years. But there are very, very new technologies which are coming in. Right now, once the technology comes in, most of the hybrids might be mechanically harvested or high-density plantation. Even though the acreages might be same, but the volume may double or triple.
Right. So you're saying that with the same acreages, the seed packets that you can sell can also double or triple?
Yeah. Yeah, because the seed rate per acre is going up. If you see in the traditional way, when it was one packet 15 years back, now it has come up to 2.2. With the new technologies, it may go up to 6-8 packets. There are some countries where they go for 13 packets per acre as a volume, as a quantity. That all depends on the technology, what sort of an hybrid you are throwing in, whether it is mechanically harvested. So that all comes later on. But it's a good sign for the industry. If a new technology comes in, the illegal BT will come down and we will have a scope to innovate good products and help the Indian farmers and improve the productivity. And there are various techniques in that. So definitely the market, and there is a scope to increase market share. Both will be positive.
And from the perspective of profitability, do you see this as being at the same levels that you currently have on your cotton portfolio, or do you see that you foresee some material change to your profitability?
Right now, cotton is the least in our portfolio, but definitely going down the line, cotton will definitely improve. Cotton as a crop is a very lucrative crop. Because of some various issues, we couldn't do much work in the last 7-8 years, but going before that, cotton was a very lucrative crop, and we are pretty hopeful that it will come back to its own levels. And seed is a very important part in the entire agriculture. Seed is one which determines the entire productivity. So seed is a premium product, and always there's a premium on the seed which we sell. So we are not worried about that, and it can be easily realized on the market.
Okay. And also the government has, put some restrictions on the usage of glyphosate in that, only a certified or registered pesticide, trained person.
That's again coming back to the illegal BT, to control illegal BT, because illegal BT is nothing but resistant to glyphosate. So to control illegal BT, they have done some alternate ways. But once the technology is approved, I'm pretty sure that illegal BT will not be.
Do you see this sort of delaying the approval or launch process for HTBT or BG2, because the government would want some time before, they can control one season before they can control the illegal HTBT cotton and then bring the legal version?
No, that is not the one, because illegal BT is anyway illegal BT, because the protein expression in most of the illegal BT is not there. When you have a process, the expression of the protein is different, and the quality of the seed and the performance of the seed is entirely differs. I don't think there might be much delay. Again, that's subject to the government policies. But if you see in the last 1-2 years, the things how it's moving, and the proactiveness of the government and the technology provider, we are pretty confident that the technology will come very fast. And I think the way how they have given GM mustard, and the next meeting they call for BT cotton. So definitely there will be some sort of a breakthrough. And as an industry, we are pretty hopeful and working towards the getting the new technologies, which will indirectly control the illegal BT also, which is the need of the hour, and even governments want that.
Yeah, but there are two aspects. One is that you will need glyphosate for HTBT cotton also. So I mean, if the current policy of usage around glyphosate continues, there might be some hesitation in taking up HTBT cotton. And second,
that's a different thing. That's again a government policy. If they approve the BT cotton legally, then they will give for the glyphosate also.
Okay. And secondly, you will also have to procure the trait and develop your hybrids, or have you already been in the process of doing that?
We already given that. We are given many years back for the convention of the parental lines. The lines are already with them. Once the government approves, it will not take more than a season to get the converted lines.
Okay, fine. And secondly, sir, on the tax aspect, I think even at the start of this calendar year, around February, the Telangana Authority of Advanced Ruling came out with two rulings stating that seeds are or cannot be considered as agricultural produce, I mean hybrid seeds, and therefore they should attract GST at the 18% rate. Has that had any bearing on the current tax demand raised on you, and do you see, because these rulings might form a precursor for reference, this issue recurring in the future also?
There are two different aspects. One, what we are talking about, what we have got the demand for is the income tax, not the GST related one. The Advance Ruling Act is related to the GST. Even that clearly mentioned that only not the seed process, but anything which is processed and sold in a secondary market should be taxed, not the primary product. We have got the GST exempted, which is there in the ruling itself. That is secondary sale.
Okay, so you don't see any risks from that?
Any risk for that.
Okay. And
because as from the GST council itself, the seed is exempted from that.
Right. And just your thoughts, because you have your ears close to the ground. If you could give us some idea of how the market is currently sort of, formed between you and your competition in your various significant crops, and how do you, because hybrid rice, you're saying market is growing at 3-4%. If you could give some idea of each of these crops, the outlook for the coming Rabi, and followed up by, the next Kharif, it would help us understand.
If you see this year, as I explained in one of the questions, even though this year was a very tough year in terms of the hybrid market, there were many alternate crops. The crop got shifted. Even in that scenario, we were able to grow in the crop where we operate. For example, in maize, we have grown by more than 18% in volumes. In terms of the revenue, it might be 13-14%, but in terms of the volumes, we have grown by more than 18%. In hybrid rose, we have grown. In varietal rice, we have grown by more than 17%. In cotton also, we have grown. So that itself shows the strength of our hybrids and compared to the competition. And we are pretty confident going forward that we have very good present hybrids and a good set of pipeline hybrids, which will help us to increase market shares. And as an advantage for Kaveri is that we are there in most of the crops where we across all the portfolio, and we are the only company in India to have such a large portfolio and presence in across all states. Any cropping pattern shift or change based on the seasonality may not impact much, because we have the other alternate crops to cater to the market. And we have again added to mustard to our portfolio. We are working on pulses and soya bean, even though that is not a big market as of now. We are working on those all segments. We have intensified our breeding program in R&D in vegetables. So that is also helping us to grow. So in all aspects and all directions, we are not leaving any area, including exports we are targeting. So that gives us confidence that we'll grow much better than the market, and we'll increase our market share going forward based on our portfolio. We are pretty confident about that.
Okay. Thanks, Arjun. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Udhya Prakash from Value Research India. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions, both related to the rice segment. The growth in hybrid rice has been low compared to Russian rice. And when we go to revenue, on a half-year basis, revenue in hybrid rice has actually fallen by 1.3%. Can you please tell me what is the reason between this? And my second question is, can you please elaborate the difference between the hybrid rice and Russian rice? Because production rice has seen a much better growth in the first half of this year. So what influences this in, for someone to buy?
So basically the difference between hybrid and production rice is that hybrid has different parents. That's a different breeding activity where the seeds of that may not be used again. the cultivation and the process is different. I mean, it is not much different, it is same, but the technology and the adaption and the process to derive to that is different. It is basically like the hybrid and selection is nothing but the varieties and hybrids. Whereas selection rights are research varieties which are developed by our own company, not by any other government bodies. It is developed by our own and we sell it in the market. If you see in terms...
Yes, sir. The reason for flat growth in hybrid rice compared to selection rice, anything?
As I said, this year it was a very tough market in hybrid rice compared to the previous year. The acreages were under pressure. As I said that in the call itself, the 20 lakh acres were down when compared to the previous year. Even in that scenario, we were able to grow more in rice. Research rice, because there were heavy rains and the process got delayed, that's the reason they have moved to research rice. That's where we have seen a growth of more than 17%. So both are rice segments, based on the seasonality and the adaption, they move in those directions.
So is the margin difference between hybrid rice and selection rice or the margins are all same?
Basically, the margins more or less in all the crops remain same, apart in one or two segment, but most of the crops we operate on the same margin more or less, like in between that 25 to 35% margin, all non-cotton crops. It will be in the same line.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it for my side.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vidit from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for taking my question. My first one was on the GM mustard trial approval that we've got from the government. What are the crops that are also being considered? If you could shed some light on the crops that the government is currently considering for approval would be very useful. And post approval, how long will it take to roll out these the varietal seed, hybrid seeds in the market?
To come back to the question, the first trial what they have approved in the last 20 years. There are many crops which are lined up. Maize is there, rice is there, brinjal is there. There are many other crops. Soya is also there. But right now, government has given approval for trialing of mustard. If that is approved, it may take a couple of years to get because we need to get the technology in and then we need to transfer the technology to the other hybrid. So it may take 2 or 3 years, but even though it will take time, it may take 2, 3, 4 years down the line, but it is a very good sign to get new technologies and the process will be very much simplified and very much under the guidelines. So that is a very positive sign.
Okay, understood. And so notice that in the tax expenses, there's about one crore of tax pertaining to earlier years, and as an effective tax rate, also the quarters reported a 60-odd% effective, 50-odd% effective tax rate. So what's the reason for such a high tax expense in this quarter?
See, that 1 crore is a very small quantum, and again, whatever tax we pay, it's on the other income what we generate, it's not on the business. So based on the fund redemption, based on the income what we got, the tax varies.
Okay, got it. And just one clarification was on the EPS. I think the statements say an EPS of 0.28. Is this correct? Because that the share count seems unusually high using the EPS.
Sorry?
The EPS that you reported on a consol basis is 0.28 rupees per share.
I just need to check it because we have got close to 12 crore of equity with the 2 rupee face value, close to 5.8 crore shares. Then divided by profit. I just need to check it.
Okay, because
this seems I don't have the figure right now that maybe anything is there. Usually that should be right, but I'll again verify and then if there's a fault, I'll correct it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So I would like to ask, once the SPBT cotton comes in, and like you said, you're working on parental lines, but you'll also have a stock of older seeds because you carry the stock for a very long time. What happens to that stock? Do you write off that entire stock of seeds, or what happens to that stock? That's what I want to know.
But basically, when you get HDBT seed, it's not possible to convert the entire volume into HDBT in the next 1 or 2 years. It will take some time to convert because we need to have the parented seeds to multiply and then sell it. So in the due course, we will not produce the old seed, we will produce the converted seed, and we will balance in that way. Usually, the running hybrid seed doesn't have the risk of feeding it out.
Okay. Understood, sir. So there will be a balancing act. Basically, till the time that seed is actually coming into commercial production, you will end these seeds and you won't produce any of the prior seeds.
And it will move in a combination of all. First year, it might be 2%, 98%. Then it will slightly increase the percentage in that way. That's how it happens.
Okay, understood. So secondly, companies much smaller than your good sales in the seed segment are moving into different countries in the Southeast Asian markets. And obviously, there is government blessing given, because of which those things wouldn't have happened. So diplomacy is very highly required for seed companies to go into different countries. But we don't see that happening with your company. Is there a reason specific for that? Or are you also looking to move into Southeastern countries, but just had not been able to break ground as of now? Could you highlight that, sir, or give your thoughts on this?
We are mentioning in most of the calls saying that we are working with 7 different countries, even though if you see our exports. We are doing an export business of more than 20 crores for the last 5-6 years. But that is majority from the Bangladesh, Pakistan, Nepal, and these are the countries. We are given a seed in the Southeast Asian countries and some African countries, especially in Indonesia, Thailand, Philippines, and in African countries. We are in the trialing stage. Once we get the approval, we market it. Right now, we don't have the research centers there. We don't want to set up a research center strategically as of now, because some of the hybrids are suitable for their conditions. So we are trialing them. The initial trials gave a very positive thing, and we are trialing for the last 2 to 3 years. And we have exported some this year also.
So
but small quantity. Going forward, down the line, 4 to 5 years.
R&D centers in countries in Africa, because Africa as a continent is emerging as the fastest basket of countries which is approving GM seeds. So why the apprehension of not setting up an R&D center in one of those countries and exploiting the opportunities there?
So one thing, we have good market in India, first thing. We are focusing more on Indian market. The other thing, we are not neglecting the other countries, but we need to have a proper strategy to go there, because you know much about the African countries. No Indian company is successful there in Africa. There are many countries who are doing research for the last 15 years. But no one has done enough for leaving apart a company or two. No one has been successful in doing business in Africa. And for example, cotton. We are not allowed to sell cotton there because the technology is a BG technology here. In terms of the maize, they go with the white maize. We have the yellow maize here. So there are some constraints. But at the same time, there are some countries where some products which are similar to us can be marketed there. So first, we are exploring that country. And as a strategy, when we are going to Southeast Asian countries, maize and rice are the big crops. So in these two crops, we have very good portfolio and very good R&D. And we have some products which are suitable for those areas, climatic conditions. So we want to explore that. We want to have some market, some distribution network, and then set up an office. For example, in Bangladesh, we are doing for the last 3-4 years. We were doing from a distribution channel. Right now, we want to set up a company in Bangladesh. Once we have some decent size, and we don't want to bleed, and we don't want to expand unnecessary where we can't manage. And you know Africa very well. The conditions are different, the policies are different, and every night, every morning, it's a different morning there.
Understood, sir. That explains it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mithun Chand for his closing comments.
Thanks all for participating in the con call. For any further clarification, you can reach our investor desk for any time to the number mentioned in the presentation. Thanks all.
Thank you. Thank you for the joint call. For any further info, please be in touch with Rama Naidu from Intellect PR. On behalf of Kaveri Seed Company Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.